ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीदेवकी उवाच रूपं यथद् प्राहुर् अव्यक्तम् आद्यम् ब्रह्मा ज्योतिर्निर्गुणं निर्विकारम् सत्ता मात्रं निर्विशेषं निरीतम् सत्त्वं साक्षाद् विष्णुर् अध्यात्मदीपः रूपं यथत् प्राहुर् अव्यक्तम् आद्यम् ब्रह्मा ज्योतिर्निर्गुणं निर्विकारम् तथा मात्रं निर्विशेषं निरीतम् सत्त्वं साक्षाद् विष्णुर् अध्यात्मदीपः Devaki uvacha. Sri Devaki said, Rupam, form or substance, yat tat, because you are the same substance. Prahu, you are sometimes called. Avyaktam, not perceivable by the material senses. Adyam, you are the original cause. Brahma, you are known as Brahman. Jyotihi, light. Nirgunam, without material qualities. Nirvikaram, without change. The same form of Vishnu perpetually. Sata matram, the original substance, the cause of everything. Nirvishesham, you are present everywhere as the Supersoul, within the heart of a human being, and within the heart of an animal. The same substance is present. Nidiham, without material desires. Saha, that Supreme Person. Tvam, your Lordship. Sakshad, directly. Vishnu, Lord Vishnu. Adhyatma Deepaha, the light for all transcendental knowledge. Knowing you, one knows everything. Translation, Sri Devaki said, My dear Lord, there are different Vedas, some of which describe you as unperceivable through words and the mind. Yet you are the origin of the entire cosmic manifestation. You are Brahman, the greatest of everything, full of effulgence, like the sun. You have no material cause. You are free from change and deviation, and you have no material desires. Thus the Vedas say that you are the substance. Therefore, my Lord, you are directly the origin of all Vedic statements, and by understanding you, one gradually understands everything. You are different from the light of Brahman and Paramatma, yet you are not different from them. Everything emanates from you. Indeed, you are the cause of all causes, Lord Vishnu, the light of all transcendental knowledge. Purport. Vishnu is the origin of everything, and there is no difference between Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna because both of them are Vishnu Tattva. From the Rig Veda, we understand Om Tad Vishnu Param Paramam Padam. The original substance is the all-pervading Lord Vishnu, who is also Paramatma and the effulgent Brahman. The living entities are also part and parcel of Vishnu, who has various energies. Parasha Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate Sobhavika Jnana Balakriyacha. Vishnu, or Krishna, is therefore everything. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matak Sarvam Pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Krishna, therefore, is the original cause of everything. Sarva Karana Karanam. When Vishnu expands in his all-pervading aspect, we should understand him to be the Nirakara Nirvishesha Brahma Jyoti. Paragraph. Although everything emanates from Krishna, he is ultimately a person. Aham Adirhi Devanam. He is the origin of Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, and from them many other demigods are manifested. Krishna therefore says in Bhagavad Gita 14:27, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, translation, Brahman rests on me. The Lord also says, Yepyanya Devata Bhakta Yajante Shadayanvita Tepimam Eva Kaunteya Yajantya Vidhi Purvakam. Translation. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but it is offered without true understanding. There are many persons who worship different demigods, considering all of them to be separate gods, which in fact they are not. The fact is that every demigod and every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. Mami Vangsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta. The demigods are also in the category living entities. They are not separate gods, but men whose knowledge is immature and contaminated by the modes of material nature worship various demigods according to their intelligence. Therefore, they are rebuked in Bhagavad Gita. Kamaistaistarhatyagyana prabhadyante anyadevata. Because they are unintelligent and not very advanced and have not properly considered the truth, they take to the worship of various demigods or speculate according to various philosophies such as Mayavad philosophy. Paragraph. Krishna, Vishnu, is the actual origin of everything as stated in the Vedas. Yasya bhasha sarvam idam vibhati. I looked that up. It's whose light supports the entire universe. Bhasha. Yasya bhasha, whose light sarvam idam vibhati. Whose light supports the entire universe. The absolute truth is described later in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:28-15 as Satyam Jnanam Anantam Yad Brahma Jyoti Sanatanam. The Brahma Jyoti is Sanatana. Looks like they made some mistake in the diacritics. Sanatanam sounds like it should be Sanatana. Can somebody make note of that and write to Dravida? Yes? Oh, okay. This is an old printing then, okay. The Brahmajyoti is sanatana, eternal. Yet, it is dependent on Krishna. For the second time, Brahmanohi Patishtaham. On the same page above. The Brahma Samhita states that the Lord is all-pervading. Andantarasta paramanuchayantarastam. He is within this universe and he is within the atom as Paramatma. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda kotim koti shvasheshu vasadadi vibhuti bhinnam. Brahman is also not independent of him. Therefore, whatever a philosopher may describe is ultimately Krishna or Vishnu. Parentheses. Sarvam kalvidam brahma, param brahma, param dhamma, pavitram, paramam bhavan. According to different phases of understanding, Lord Vishnu is differently described, but in fact, he is the origin of everything. Paragraph, final paragraph. Because Devaki was an unalloyed devotee, she could understand that the same Lord Vishnu had appeared as her son. Therefore, after the prayers of Vasudev, Devaki offered her prayers. She was very frightened because of her brother's atrocities. Devaki said, "My dear Lord, your eternal forms, like Narayana, Lord Rama, Shesha, Varaha, Nrsingha, Vamana, Baladeva, and millions of similar incarnations emanating from Vishnu are described in the Vedic literature as original. You are original because all your forms as incarnations are outside of this material creation. Your form was existing before this cosmic manifestation was created. Your forms are eternal and all-pervading. They are self-effulgent, changeless, and uncontaminated by the material qualities. Such eternal forms are ever cognizant and full of bliss. They are situated in transcendental goodness and are always engaged in different pastimes. You are not limited to a particular form only. All such transcendental eternal forms are self-sufficient. I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. We may conclude, therefore, that Lord Vishnu is everything, although he is also different from everything. This is the Achintya Bheda, Abheda Tattva philosophy. This is the first of Devaki's prayers. Pretty scholarly lady. Deep insight, according to, as the reference is made, there are different Vedas, some of which describe you as, so she's familiar with the Vedas. She's pure in devotion and she has no ignorance. We have this nice understanding that bhakti, just within itself, not separate from itself, but within bhakti itself, all knowledge and detachment are there. Causelessly, knowledge and detachment arise from bhakti. So our acharyas comment that Devaki naturally, by her quality of devotion, she's feeling very humble. Naturally, she's feeling very humble. And in that humility, she feels unqualified. It's a very similar mood as we find in Queen Kunti, very humble, yet perfectly enlightened. And her words make it very clear that she's enlightened. She not only knows the Vedas, she understands everything. We understand that her son is Lord Vishnu. She sees his form. She sees his features. He's within her heart. So she knows the whole picture. At the same time, she's feeling humble. And at the same time, it's quite inconsistent logically, she's feeling some fear. And in one sense, in a material sense, fear, having been, as a mother, we can say traumatized. Six of her sons were, according to the previous verse, smashed on a rock right before her. Kamsa was so cruel. And he tempted that with the eighth child. Didn't work. So she's feeling fear. Now, this is just some contemplation on her feelings. She's feeling grateful, as her husband is feeling grateful. She's feeling astonished. She's feeling fear. Her knowledge of all these things, he's original, meaning his form is not a product of material creation. His form is eternal, all-pervasive, fully spiritual. So how can something that's eternal, all-pervasive, and fully spiritual be killed? It's irrational. Yet it's a feeling. It's her maternal affection. It's this, we discussed yesterday, a secondary rasa of astonishment. And it's quite okay. More than quite okay. It's a symptom of her ecstasy. It's not the bewilderment like we may feel due to attachment on the material platform. It's quite different. Say it the reverse. What people feel in terms of attachment is a perverted reflection of what Devaki is feeling. Because in fact there's attachment to the temporary. And that's where the fear comes from. Dutiyam abhinivesh, absorption in the temporary, absorption in duality. She doesn't have that. Her emotion is a transcendental emotion, just for the record. And Krishna's appearance is fully transcendental. He is all-pervasive Vishnu, and at the same time, he's before her in his Vasudev Krishna feature. And he's reciprocating with her love for him and Vasudev's love for him. And it's all part of pastime, which is going to continue. His exchanges are simultaneously doing different things. But in the highest sense, reciprocating with the particular kind of love of his devotee. That's Krishna. My understanding is this phrase of achintya beda beda tattva wasn't used during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, rather it's a phrase that Jiva Goswami coined or articulated. But it's not different than the message of the Bhagavatam. It's not different than the message of Mahaprabhu, which is not different than the message of the Bhagavatam. This mystery of oneness and difference simultaneously is the nature of Krishna. And that includes everything. Say it negatively. There's nothing outside of Krishna. Everything has this oneness and difference relationship with Krishna. So that means Vishnu, Brahmajyoti, the living entities, material creation, spiritual creation. Everything. Negatively. There isn't anything that exists that doesn't have this simultaneous oneness and difference relationship. It has everything to do with the source of all things, which Prabhupada is using here as substance. It's very similar to how he begins Canto 1, Chapter 1, speaking of substance. The absolute truth is substantial, and the reflection of the transcendental realm is insubstantial. There's no substance. There's material energy, and there's living entities, and there's the supersoul. But the feature of this building, or the street outside, or any one of us, or our families, or it's insubstantial. Prakriti is eternal, but the form that Prakriti takes and that we identify with and try to be happy and enjoying our activities with, it's insubstantial. And the absolute Vishnu is substantial, substance. So she recognizes him in that way. I was reading this morning commentary, this last term that's in the verse, adhyatma dipaha. Prabhupada's words for word is the light for all transcendental knowledge. Sanatana Goswami says that like all the other terms that are being used by Devaki to describe, like adjectives to describe the form standing before her, they're all indicating the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. So he is a light that doesn't come on and go off. The luminousness, the luminosity of the Supreme Lord is him. It's inseparable from him. It doesn't come and go. He may exhibit or cover it, but it's eternally existing within him. And Sanatana Goswami says, and so similarly all the other terms, it's describing eternal reality. She's very exalted. She understands eternal reality. And she's seeing eternal reality. And she knows what she's seeing. She's not confused and bewildered. She sees perfectly in light of or in reference to the statements of the Vedas. She's very qualified. And I just find it fascinating. So I'll say it one more time. Understanding all of this, there should be no bewilderment. There should be no confusion. There should be no fear. There should be no, what we know in the material world. We're very familiar with something surprising happens and we don't have to think about it, just parasympathetic nervous system kicks. But she's not on that. Her emotion is different. That's the real emotion connected to the Supreme Lord. And she has that relationship with him. And so she's feeling these feelings, all in relation to the Supreme Lord, and those feelings are enhancing and strengthening her relationship. Although they're irrational. We're getting a picture of transcendence in the Bhagavatam, life in transcendence. Okay, so any discussion? Leaving lots of time because this group has been enthusiastic to have discussions on topics. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your class. My question is related to the demigods, where Prabhupada says in his purport, there are many persons who worship different demigods, considering all of them to be separate gods. So what came to mind is that in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya wanted to test the faith of Kulaveshya Sridhar. He told Kulaveshya, "Why are you worshiping Krishna? You're always broke. You have holes in your clothes. The demons who worship the demigods and the atheists who don't worship anyone are flourishing." And I remember one family member grew up in the west side of Chicago. They said the same thing. They said honest people are always working, but they see in their neighborhood the drug dealers, the pimps, and the prostitutes always flourishing. So what are some steps we can move forward to maintain a...
Speak slowly.
What are some steps we can move forward to...
Speak slowly. I can't follow you. I'm sorry.
What are some steps we can do to maintain a faith like Srila Prabhupada, because he wasn't seeing any results, substantial external results, until he was 70. And usually when we don't see results immediately, we think maybe Krishna's not in control. Let me suck up to somebody else in the material world. Let me worship the demigods. So what are some steps we could do to maintain our faith in Krishna all the time? Narayana Pada Savrina Kutashana, that verse. All the time, and it's very difficult. So that's my question.
Did you get it?
How can we improve our faith such that it's not dependent on an external evaluation? Srila Prabhupada struggled for years. So one may think that, oh well, he wasn't getting Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy means success, prosperity. How do we direct the conception of success in devotional life via our faith?
Did he get it? You've had a lot of practice hearing his manner of speech. Thank you. There's several thoughts in this regard. You know, one of them is we're living in this middle planetary region, Madhye Tishtanti Rajasa, and in the middle planetary region, Rajas predominates, and Rajas is symptomized by endeavoring to get some result, and of course being the enjoyer of the result directly or indirectly. So to to get release from rajas, you have to move to a different mode. So it can move to the mode of goodness, or it can move to transcendence. And in the mode of goodness, the happiness is, and the motivation is different. It's knowing this is going to purify my existence. Like, you know, let's just say, book distribution. That's something we can measure, how many books were distributed. And some devotees are just like really good. Some devotees are mediocre, some devotees are not so good. So the devotee that's not so good, results-wise, their happiness is knowing that this is pleasing to our disciplic succession, to our founder Acharya, to Krishna, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with so many anecdotal evidences to indicate that, but at least in principle, the result isn't the success, it's the endeavor is the success. Now, that doesn't mean we don't want results, because we offer the results to Krishna. We want nice results, but the attachment is not in the result, the attachment is the offering to Krishna, whatever the result is. There's a classic example from the early days in the Hare Krishna movement. The devotees wanted to honor Prabhupada, and so they scraped together, this is in New York, same thing practically speaking happened in Paris. The devotees got some funds and got a place and advertised like anything, and less than a handful of people showed up. They felt really bad. And they afterwards expressed their sadness to Prabhupada, their regret. And Prabhupada was very pleased because of the endeavor. Hari Vilas told this story. You know, Prabhupada came to Paris and same thing. He went all out. He told this, the story in a very funny way. He told this owner of this like big establishment, you know, like a philharmonic type of thing, that, you know, the guru of the Beatles is coming to town and we want to have a special da 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 da, and can you make a special arrangement for, you know, being fame and notoriety to your facility here. So the man bought into it and they advertised like anything and hardly anybody showed up. So similar. And Prabhupada was very pleased by the endeavor is the success. Of course, it's nice to have the room packed. But without the room packed, it's not failure. It's just knowing what the intention of the person being served, in this case, we're speaking of our founder Acharya, and doing that which is the intention of our founder Acharya, or glorifying, or the intention of, in a rightful way, not some kooka way, but a rightful way, trying to serve and please a great Vaishnava, that's perfection. Prabhupada spoke like that about, so your question is, he spoke like that about his early days in Manhattan where nothing was happening. He knew he was pleasing his spiritual master, even if there was no result. Now, we're in this world of passion, madhye tishtanti rajasa. So we tend to evaluate things in terms of results, and it's no harm to have quantifiable results. It's good to have quantifiable results. But the success is the endeavor, not just did you hit your number. And Krishna will reciprocate. Minimally, Krishna will reciprocate within. The sense of contentment that I'm making an effort. No, whenever we're making an effort, it's never that it's, okay, that's it. And, you know, I got a 10. But it's never thinking that. So there's this discontent, even when there's the intent. But that's part of the humility of a Vaishnava. The contentment is the connection with Krishna. The endeavor to connect with and please Krishna and our disciplic succession. And if one doesn't get that, then the default position is, I'm going to feel results-oriented only. Yeah.
Maharaj, you opened your lecture by speaking about how we have this nice principle that bhakti produces knowledge and detachment.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about how it's often advised that to properly execute your bhakti, you should have some bandhagyan, some knowledge.
Yes.
So then I was meditating on whether, is it that bhakti produces knowledge and detachment, or is it that it helps you realize the knowledge that you already carry?
It's the measure by which you can hold to the light of scriptural knowledge is some understanding or knowledge or realization, right on or off. It's the standard by which we measure everything. A nice place where this is discussed is in Bhagavad Gita, 17th chapter. Prabhupada says, in spiritual circles, that's the way he taught us too. As soon as one speaks, immediately one makes scriptural reference, because that then it's authorized. That the knowledge is authorized within the Vedas. Then, of course, there's different Vedas, and people have different understandings of different Vedas. But, you know, as our acharyas have given us the Vedas, then that's the frame of reference. So that's an additional point. It helps and it guides our progress.
Maharaj, when we tell new people that Krishna is the personality of Godhead, then...
Krishna is what?
Is the personality of Godhead.
Okay.
Some people really get disturbed.
Some people get disturbed?
Yeah.
When they hear that?
Huh?
When they hear that Krishna is the personality of Godhead?
Yeah. There was one person who came to our Bhakti Vriksha, and he was a devotee of, I don't know if I should use that word, but he was practicing
something else.
Yeah, worshipping Shiva. So he just came for one session, and then after the discussion, we never saw him again. So I was particularly thinking that, does it mean that they are not ready, or is it, like, how can we convey the message probably in a subtle way or something that it doesn't disturb them? Because it seems like their devotional service is stopped because the connection from the devotees is not there anymore.
There's so many possibilities and strategies and things. If your question is, let's say it differently, why people may turn away is something that needs to be looked at a case-by-case basis. It's not like one answer is there for everybody. And you're not asking, should we have a different strategy than expressing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because that may turn people away. But that wasn't your question, but, you know. Certainly our founder Acharya didn't shy away from Krishna book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his picture on the front. And, you know, millions and millions, literally millions and millions. And we didn't conceal, and later Krishna comes out of a box. It's now, would that put some people, send some people away? This fellow, probably. Because of upbringing and faith, probably. No, our founder Acharya chose to be very direct. There are times and circumstances where we don't, by intent, it comes after some time, etc., etc. So there's different strategies. So who can say different factors? Maybe that person at a later point in time will just show up with a different disposition because he got the direct sunlight and now he's back again. Who can say? Anyone else? Yes.
I'm appreciating the this detailed explanation of God, of the Supreme. It's no other place in any scriptures is so explicit and detailed. In Christian theology, they speak about God as a person, but the explicitness of how, this all-pervading aspect simultaneously as a person is like, it's within their understanding to some extent, but it's very far off from their, contemplation usually. So I'm just appreciating that, and I'm also wondering how we're supposed to digest this, because it's inconceivable. So we try to contemplate it.
How to conceive the inconceivable? Basic question.
Yeah, it's like understand it.
Well, go back to the appreciation part at the beginning. Krishna has yet to perform his various pastimes. And there are persons who, when hearing Krishna's various pastimes, think some inappropriate thoughts, like mythology, metaphorical, not real. So these prayers are, some appreciation from my side is, these prayers are helping us to not make that mistake. Still one can make that mistake because of attachments to material conceptions of things, including conceptions of you know, the Supreme or whatever language people are comfortable with. Similar to a Krishna book. Krishna book is done in such a way that a careful reader won't make that mistake. It won't think, oh, this is mythology, but they'll again and again and again. So here it's very detailed with additional scriptural references from different places to support what Devaki's saying. She says different Vedas describe, and then she doesn't give all the references, and Prabhupada is assisting us, and the commentary of the Acharyas give far more references from this Upanishad and that place, the other place. So her statements are authoritative, and is preparing the reader to hear Krishna's pastimes and not have a mundane conception of what they're hearing. And know now how to conceive the inconceivable. Well, inconceivable, one way to answer this question is inconceivable has to do with the mind. And the mind doesn't have enough elasticity that it can encompass transcendence. It doesn't go there. So it's not through the mind. Inconceivable means that's not the faculty to understand or get your arms around that which is inconceivable, because it's inconceivable. Rather, the process of understanding the inconceivable is through this descending knowledge and hearing with submission, so that consciousness becomes lifted and energized by devotion to the Supreme, and then one can understand. It's a different approach, not the mind trying to conceive approach. That's the mental speculation approach. Although the word is that's used is jnana, Prabhupada commonly would translate that as mental speculation. It's not real knowledge. Real knowledge is that which awakens through bhakti. And the messages of transcendence stimulate bhakti. They stimulate ecstatic love. So through the medium of service, starting with hearing, one can then conceive of the inconceivable, or one can have an understanding, a transcendental understanding, and even explain it. Although words are also limited, like the mind. But in relation to the Supreme Transcendence, words can describe. Bhaktivinoda Thakur touches on this topic. Words by nature are limited, and so to use words to describe the unlimited is limiting. But it gives us an indication, that away. And then to realize that away situation requires bhakti. So it's hearing in a different mode. Oh, how wonderful is my Krishna. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. In respect to the answer to Giridhari's...
In respect to?
Giridhari's... answer you just gave him, is that related with that when the translation here says that thus the Vedas say that you are the substance, like explaining that all these inconceivable form in which Krishna appears, that is kind of inconceivable, he is indeed conceivable?
Knowable.
Or knowable.
Knowable.
Or
Prabhupada uses that language. He's inconceivable but knowable.
Because here it says, thus the Vedas say that you are the substance. You're free from change and deviation, and you have no material desires. Thus the Vedas say that you are the substance. Is it related? Same?
Yeah, but language is important.
Yeah.
And I made reference to Canto 1, Chapter 1, I think it's verse 1. Prabhupada uses the word substance, and that's, you know, transcendence or sat or chit in the sense of the spiritual potency. So the Bhagavatam reveals substance. Material, he uses the word category. Substance and category. Or reality and reflection of reality. It's similar to this Plato idea of the realm of absolutes. You familiar? You know, chair, the whole chair metaphor. So, by inference, it's just by logic, there must be a realm of transcendence where there's chairs. Because before the chair, there was the idea chair. Where did the idea chair come from? From place where there's chairs. There's a realm of absolutes by inference, not proof. So that's the substance, chairs, in the substantial form. And here's the category. Substance and category. Chair. So, that's my understanding of how Prabhupada is using this word substance here as well. Reality, with a capital R. And Vishnu is that, in all of his forms of substance. He's not limited to, he can only have one form. You know, that's another, you know, mind-blowing, inconceivable, beyond the concept of the mind, of having one entity, one being, having multiple forms. And it's not only okay or cool, it's just reality. That's substance. Eternally existing. Not coming into being and then kind of fizzling out after some time. Eternally existing, unlimited. One entity. Inconceivable potency. Inconceivable potencies. Unlimited and inconceivable potencies. That's the Supreme. And that's substance. As opposed to category. When it doesn't work in the category realm. You can have different kinds of chairs. Here's one and there's one. And there's the bench. Another kind of chair. Something to sit on. Then there's substance. Because the chair that I'm sitting on before was something else. And after some time it's going to be something else. It's not going to be a chair. So category. Then there's this, so substance, the spiritual reality of things, of existence. Enough philosophy for the morning. Krunaniti, are you going to make it easy or difficult?
Here is a nice point, Maharaj. I want to discuss it.
You want to discuss which nice point?
That in purport, it is mentioned that Mother Devaki, she is very unalloyed devotee. And you often quote in a very nice verse, Bhayam Dutya Abhi Nivasatasat. You always quote that. So, Isad Abhi Viparyas Spriti. So, I was wondering then again, same time, in the same paragraph, Prabhupada mentioned she was very frightened. So how is that? That she is an unalloyed devotee and getting frightened.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's feeling the fear.
But that's different. We did that one already. Her feeling is not material. Her feeling is transcendental attachment to Krishna. It's not this one. It's that one. Srila Prabhupada ki.
You want to...